Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here at the Madeleine for this Mass on the Feast of the Holy Family. Now, remind you this coming week on New Year's Day, it is on the calendar of the Church, is we celebrate the Solemnity of Mary as the Mother of God. And it is a holy day of obligation. Think of it perhaps as rather as a holy day of opportunity. And so we will have Mass, a vigil Mass, on New Year's Eve at 6 o'clock. And then on New Year's Day at 10 in the morning. And in between, we're going to have a holy hour. We've done this the last couple of years. We will have a time for prayer before the Blessed Sacrament here in the church beginning at 11 p.m. We'll conclude at midnight. And we'll have a little reception afterwards. So all are invited. A nice and prayerful and peaceful way to bring in the new year. I saw the day after Christmas, somebody posted on social media a photograph taken in one of the large retail stores of the shelves. And on the shelves in which all the Christmas stuff had been, those were now being emptied. And in their place, what was going up was items for Valentine's Day. Which is what you do if Christmas is no more than a great big warm fuzzy that you do at the end of December, and then you move on to the next big thing. And apparently for this retail store, the next big thing is Valentine's Day. So I guess they're going to skip over New Year's and the Super Bowl and go straight into the middle of February. But for the Christian, Christmas cannot be, it must not be, it cannot be just a nice big warm fuzzy that we do in December and we move on to the next big thing, because Christmas is very much at the heart and center of our faith, of the proclamation of the church, the life of the church. And that is the Word of God, God the Son, Jesus, has taken on our humanity, what we call the incarnation, for the purpose of us being able to share in His divinity. And that our redemption comes through Him, through His blood shed on the cross, through His resurrection. That is what we do at Christmas. And for us, particularly as Catholics, Christmas is not a day. It is a season. That's why the Christmas decorations are still up. We're not taking them down, replacing them with stuff for Valentine's Day. And they're going to remain up for the next couple of weeks. Now, we've been hearing a lot throughout Advent and then at Christmas about people preparing for the birth of Jesus. And particularly in the Gospels, specifically in Luke, about all these people talk about the coming of Jesus, and then after He's born, singing His praises. We hear the angel Gabriel going to Mary in the Annunciation, and her saying, "Yes, let it be done to me according to your word." We have the exchange between Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's words of praise. We have the words of praise from Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, at the birth of his son, John the Baptist, who will go before Jesus to prepare for his way. And then now we have on Christmas Eve, we heard the angels and the heavenly host praising God in the highest about the birth of Jesus. And today on this Feast of the Holy Family, we have the account where Jesus as a newborn is presented in the temple in Jerusalem, as was the custom, and being dedicated, consecrated for the service of God. And we have this old man, Simeon, and this old woman, Anna, singing the praises of God as well. And if you follow in the Liturgy of the Hours, the daily prayer of the church, we incorporate the prayer of praise of Zechariah and of Mary and of Simeon into the daily prayers for morning, evening, and at night. Now, notice the one person who remained silent through this whole business is Joseph. Yeah, Joseph, he's the one here. He's the third person here in our nativity, the one who gets overlooked so much. Joseph in the Gospels does not utter a single word. And like his namesake in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God speaks to Joseph in dreams. And Joseph, instead of saying anything, he listens and he acts. He acts in faith, hope, trust, and love. And that is what enables him to do what God is asking him to do. And it was some pretty incredible things. I mean, beginning with the news of, oh, by the way, the woman that you love and you're engaged to is pregnant, and you're not the daddy. The Holy Spirit is. And for him to accept this, to act upon it, and also for him to care for Mary and the newborn Jesus, and in his birth that we celebrate with all the manger scenes and so on. Think of it in a different way. and particularly from a male perspective of how perhaps how crushing this may have been to Joseph. They're so destitute. They're so desperate. He can't even provide a decent place for the baby to be born in. It has to take place in the wherever they keep the animals, the stable or cave or somewhere like that. But Joseph accepts this. Also, we're told in the Gospel of Matthew that he has to take Mary and the newborn Jesus, and they have to flee the country, become refugees in Egypt, that land of slavery had been for their ancestors, before things cool off enough for him to come back, to bring back and to be to carry out what God has entrusted him to do. Because Joseph, he listens and he acts in love, faith, trust, and hope. Very much as Mary does. And very much as Abraham and Sarah do. We hear about them in today's readings as well. That God's promises is going to be fulfilled to them. And through them, God's promise is going to be fulfilled to creation, to humanity. This gift of the Holy Family that we celebrate is quite special for us. It's what we do the Sunday after Christmas. We're right now, liturgically, we call it the octave of Christmas, the days that immediately follow. And so the Sunday after we celebrate the Holy Family. And notice, it's the Holy Family, not the perfect family that we celebrate. We think of perfection as like no troubles, no pain, no worry. Well, we know that's not true from what I just described. And also, some other things reminds us that, yes, the Word of God has come into the world. The light of Christ has come into the world. But as we heard on Christmas Day in the Gospel reading, the beginning of John's Gospel, the light's come into the world, but the world prefers the darkness. And intentionally, in these days immediately following Christmas, the church has some very special celebrations to remind us of this. The day after Christmas, December the 26th, on the church's calendar, we celebrate the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr. We're told in the Acts of the Apostles, he's one of the original seven deacons in Jerusalem, and because he continues to proclaim that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, he's dragged out of the gates of the city and beaten to death with rocks. Because the world prefers the darkness. Today, the December 28th, if it was not Sunday, we would be celebrating the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Those children in Bethlehem that are murdered on the orders of King Herod the Great in an attempt to literally strangle the newborn Jesus in his crib. Because the world prefers the darkness. And the darkness will go to any length to try to extinguish the light, even the murder of children. But the light has come. And to dwell in us, to take up his dwelling in us. That's what Joseph and Mary accept with faith, hope, trust, and love. And it can only be understood, it only makes sense for them, and to live it out in the context of the love that God has for them and the love they have for God that allows them to accept Jesus to dwell among them. And that's what makes their family holy. Not because it's perfect, far from it. But because Jesus dwells within them in this context of their human family. You know, it's interesting that Jesus, as he is taken to be dedicated in the temple as a newborn, remember the temple in Jerusalem is the place of prayer, of sacrifice. It is the dwelling place of God for the Jewish people. And so now you have Jesus, the Word made flesh. He will be the one who will be sacrificed on the cross. He will be that lamb. The Passover lamb. He is the dwelling place of God now on earth. That word dwelling place, before the temple is built, the people in the Exodus, coming out of that place of slavery from Egypt to the promised land, they have what's called the tent of meeting where the Ark of the Covenant is kept. And the Hebrew word describing that tent of meeting is translated into Latin as tabernacle. Jesus is that tabernacle. And it is no accident that this box behind the altar with the red light is what we call the tabernacle. Because it contains the presence of God, the dwelling place of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the very core of our Catholic faith. That indwelling, that dwelling place that God has made among us in Jesus, that ongoing gift of the Incarnation that we are called to accept in faith and hope and trust and love. And in doing so, we are made holy. that the Lord comes to dwell in us, that dwelling place that calls us to holiness as the Lord Jesus has humbled himself to take on our humanity, that we now can share in his divinity. And that is what we celebrate in this octave of Christmas. In this time of joy, let it be also time of holiness. Holiness in the families that we are called to be through blood and marriage, and also the family that we are called to be through water and the Holy Spirit, the church. So may it be a time of rejoicing and celebration as God comes to make his dwelling among us in our humanity, calling us to holiness.